So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Keller Williams, Jacksonville Realty.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy,
Blythe Brumley, and Lauren Rue.
We are live from the Dreamfinders Home Stadium, Home 2.0, just about 100 feet away from TIAA Bank Field, where the Jaguars were up 16-0 on the Steelers in the third quarter. But the Steelers ended up winning 20-16. So now we are here to talk about another Jaguars loss. That would be 6 in a row. So I'll start with what I think is a difficult question. What do you do with quarterback Blake Bortles? Head coach Doug Marrone is not changing a thing.
Ridiculous.
What would you do?
Bench him. Bench him for the rest of the season. You know what you have in him. He's been your quarterback for 5 years. He had one sort of fluky good season, which is great, but you know what you got in him? Now it's time to figure out what you have in the rest of the team, the rest of the coaching staff. I want answers to the rest of the coaching staff. I want to know how Hackett can do with another quarterback. I want to know how these wide receivers can perform. I want to know the details of the rest of this team because I already know the details of Blake.
I agree. A lot of the blame was put on the coaching and the play calling. So let's see. Is it the coaching and the play calling with a different quarterback, or is it the quarterback who doesn't understand the coaching and play calling?
I think you have to go back in time and not give him the extension. Is that option C?
I wish.
Go back in time
really
and not
wish
realistic option?
Before you ruined our franchise.
Oh, I'll tell you what. It's a fair question to ask. I unfortunately think, though, what you all are proposing is not what we're going to see. And I don't know if that's because Cody Kessler is really not going to make it any better, or if they are so dialed in with Blake that they don't, I mean, they're so deep at this point that if just imagine this for a moment, imagine they do go with Cody Kessler and imagine Cody Kessler gets a win. How bad that looks on the guys who've been evaluating these quarterbacks. Now, it could be a fluky win. It could be whatever. And at the end of the day, a win is a win. But think about it. They decided to double down on a guy who a lot of people had questions about. And people said, okay, we're going to trust you to make the right decisions. But just imagine that for a moment. Imagine if Cody Kessler would actually be the better option. How bad that would look for the guys who sit up there and make the decisions about who needs to be quarterback.
Honestly, I don't
team.
Care. I don't care how bad it looks on them. I just want to win, and I want to get back to and this was, a sort of positive that can kind of come out of the Steelers game, is that it did feel like there was still a lot of talent left on this team. Jalen Ramsey had arguably, you heard Tom Champion say, arguably his best game of his career, and there was some semblance of last season that you could grasp onto, and you really felt confident for the whole game that we were going to win until that final drive. That final drive was you were just waiting for the touchdown to happen.
See, I didn't – I thought, for me, we talked about this on Midday Chalk yesterday, and we did a segment where we said, all right, at what point in this game on Sunday did you think the Jags were going to lose? Or if you thought they were going to win the entire time, that was also an option as well. Going into the half with a minute 8 after the interception by Barry Church – and the Jags got the ball back on the Steelers' side of the field. Mm. We're within 6 yards of Lambeau's range, which is super long to begin with. But you're working with the clock. You have successfully run the ball in the first half. Please explain to me why in that moment they elected to throw 3 straight passes. And the first one, Blake nearly gave it back. So right there in that moment, I sat there and I thought, this has the bad feeling written all over it. You have all the momentum. You have all the success running the football. You are within a few yards of getting in field goal range. At the worst, you walk out of there with 3 more points, and you're choosing now to throw the football. You give it right back to him. Now, thankfully, the defense held up, and there were no points scored in that first half. But for me right there, I thought, this already has a bad feeling for me.
That's why Nathaniel Hackett gets questioned so much, right? Because it's so you can't explain his play calling strategies, and you don't know what he's working with. You don't know which guys are injured, which guys can make the plays, and but you just, it's a head scratcher. The whole season has been nothing but a head scratcher.
It could be, but I mean, if you have a quarterback that can actually get it to a receiver,
true,
then it doesn't look so bad. So the question of what do you do with Blake right now moving forward isn't more about, you know, getting wins for me. It's more about just getting the crap out of the way. We know, like you said, we know what we have here. Let's just put it over to the side. What else do we have? What else is there somebody that's sitting there, you know, is Tanner ready to come, you know, and shine or whatever? I don't care. I don't want to see this mess anymore.
Well, and it's easy to say Blake has not been playing well. Let's put in a guy like Cody Kessler, who at least when he had some playing time against the Texans looked fairly good as far as getting the ball out on time, throwing accurately. But the problem is he can take a lot of sacks. Blake took 6 sacks on Sunday, and that was a guy who has better scramble ability than Cody Kessler does.
Then scramble.
And that's on
decide.
That's absolutely on both Blake and Nathaniel Hackett. You know, you're finally starting to hear a little bit of dissension when you listen to what they're saying after the game. But you've got an offensive line that's in shambles, and you're not going to be able to fix that. They've done the best that they can in trying to get guys in that left tackle position. They went through Josh Wells. He got hurt. They went through Josh Walker. He got hurt. Then they picked up Eric Flowers, who wasn't very good on Sunday either. But you're not really surprised because he couldn't stay on a Giants team that doesn't have a good offensive line. So you've got issues there. A.J. Cann went down. Brandon Linder went down for the whole season. A.J. Cann went down for that game, and he didn't practice today. I understand they've got all sorts of issues on the line. And then you've got a quarterback who obviously right now doesn't trust himself. And so what is better? I'm not sure at this point who's going to play better against the Bills, but I do know that the Bills turn the ball over a lot. So if you can put a guy in there in Blake Bortles and just say, go have fun, don't worry about turning the football over, but just go try and make plays either with your legs or, oh, by the way, when you have a wide receiver wide open for a slant route, get the ball out quickly. Don't try not to be afraid of taking the sack. And that's a lot easier said than done. I've never had multiple 315-pound guys rushing at me. But when you watch the film, you go, why didn't he just throw it right there? Or why didn't he run that time?
Yeah.
He
would when have Mike Tomlin yards. Is accepting a holding penalty instead of declining it, that tells you everything you need to know about this quarterback situation. They know he can't make the throws. I don't know why this organization doesn't realize that as well and put the organization in the best chance to succeed to get a win. And it's so frustrating to be back at square one or feel like you're back at square one. But like I said, there were some little highlights, some parts of the game that really felt good to watch and not all hope is lost. But it's just a crazy feeling to be, you know, 10 minutes away from the Super Bowl 8-9 months ago, and then to now be at the point where you're already thinking about the draft before Thanksgiving.
But the problem in that game is still a problem today. They didn't trust Blake in that
True.
Moment. And higher math, 8 months later, 9 months later, whatever, it's the same problem.
And it resonates with the whole team. Like
right.
his performance brings down the rest of the team. When Kessler came in that Houston game, and the rest of the defense was fired up. He was firing up those guys. And I have to believe that making the change there would resonate with the rest of the team.
Yeah. And I don't think that the Jaguars lost to the Patriots because of Blake or their lack of trust
no.
in Blake. I think it was much more they decided that they didn't want to be aggressive play calling wise, and they went conservative against one of the best right now coach in the NFL. So you've got a team that says we're going to run the football. They weren't able to run the football against the Patriots. They obviously weren't able to run the football against the Steelers. And I think the major difference was they did trust Blake in January. Sunday, it sure as heck didn't look like it. Head coach Doug Marone said after the game, we didn't trust the protection. So basically he's telling his offensive linemen, you can't pass protect worth crap today.
Yeah, they're third stringers. I don't understand why we're holding these third string guys to the same standard as we're holding the starting quarterback of the team, who it's the most position or most important position in all of sports. And here we are just getting rid of a season that we should be in the Super Bowl and we're not.
During practice time, I know that the ones go against the twos. And I know you guys spoke about that on Midday Chalk with Searcy.
Yeah.
And he used to do that. Is
right.
that common throughout every team, throughout the league?
I think where the misconception, well, not misconception, maybe where it's a little bit different is that during training camp, when Jalen made the comments, if that's what you're alluding to, that they don't go up against Blake because that would be bad for his psyche, essentially, and his confidence. I think that is not normal. I think in training camp scenarios, maybe the one. But I think during the season, it's fairly common for ones not to go up against other ones.
Well, I remember Tom Brady during his practices, he gives $100 to a defensive player. If you pick him off in a practice, he gives you $100.
Right.
So it drives him.
Why would you not go against your best defense?
Right.
Learn something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he can't read defenses.
Hello.
That's probably why.
That's, I think, the biggest problem is it's even more so than the mechanics and the decision making almost. It's that the game hasn't slowed down for him like it has for other quarterbacks. And if you watched last night's game, and we'll talk about Monday Night Football a little bit later, but you saw two guys that are much younger who are able to scan the field, go through their progressions, and if they don't have any of that, make a very quick decision in running the football. So the Jaguars are a long way from where they need to be in the quarterback position. I'm afraid they're also a really long way from where they need to be in the tight end position, in the wide receiver position, in the offensive line position, and maybe not running back per se, but they're one injury away from being very far away from where they need to be in the running back position. All right, so when it comes to Blake, would you have him on this roster next year? Because
no.
There is a $16.5 million dead cap hit if you cut him.
Cut him. Today. Yesterday.
I mean, I don't know I'm with you, because that would, I think, solve a lot of problems. But financially speaking, how does that happen? Who fits that
bill? Isn't it only like $5 million on the cap next year?
No, but there's 11 in dead money and a bunch of terms that are somewhat confusing.
How much is it
going to
cost you?
We need a financial advisor to tell us.
Right, but how much is it going to cost you in fan confidence if you don't have people showing up to your games?
But if he's a backup,
Bortles,
to keep the salary dead cap money from hitting you.
This may sound funny. Hold on for a second with me here. I think he is a stud of a backup. And I think he is very similar to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And by that, if you look at Fitzpatrick when he comes in as a backup, there's 400 yards there, there's 400 yards there. They name him the starter, there's four interceptions. He stinks when he gets named the starter and is under
pressure.
Yes, he doesn't like that. But he comes in as a backup, he is phenomenal. So if we give Bortles no pressure here, this job ain't yours, but can you go do it for, you know, a couple halves or whatever? And I think he'll do a phenomenal job.
And see, it's so hard because you look back at last season, and I know, you know, when Lauren Rue got here, it was like, are you guys going to stop talking about last season yet? It's a whole new season. And we're still doing it because we're trying to figure out our mentality at different points. Last season, there was a lot of pressure on Blake to basically win the AFC South when the Jaguars started to look like they were in that position.
No, see, I disagree.
But especially against the Seahawks coming in to TIA Bank Field, then Everbank Field. There was a lot of pressure on him. It was the Jaguars' new, basically, Legion of Boom, the Seahawks, the original Legion of Boom, and what can Blake do dueling up against Russell Wilson? And he played fantastic. Earlier this season, there was a lot of pressure on him to go up against the Patriots and beat the Patriots and Tom Brady and Belichick, and he did. So it's not – that's, the, I think, the if I'm having sympathy for the front office, so to speak, it's like, yes, there are moments where he plays phenomenally well and looks great, and you understand why they have him in that position, because he can do things that no other quarterback
can
do.
But I think last year was different because they were the underdogs. They were coming out of nowhere and surprising everybody. This year, all the expectations and all the talk in the offseason was put on the shoulders of every single guy on this team, and they haven't been able to live up to it.
And for the fact that I disagree with that last year with pressure on him is because everybody looked at the defense. I was so wowed and so amazed by how phenomenal Saxonville was that, by the way, we're kind of surprised with Bortles. You know, there was no talk of him. Now it's not Saxonville. They're not living up to the name. And then what else is bad? Well, of course, it's Bortles. So that's what
I don't want to be talking about a 3-7 football team, but that's where we're at. And we will continue our talk about the Jaguars throughout the show. We're also going to get it to a little golf and Thanksgiving coming up next. We are Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, live from the Dreamfinder Stadium Home 2.0. You're listening to 1010XL.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes,
presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products
on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back into Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. My name is Blythe Brimley. I'm joined alongside Donna Murphy and the two Laurens. And I'm sure many of you have heard, we've talked about it on this show, about the upcoming The Match between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Donna's a little excited.
Yeah.
I am too, for sure. So just last week, just watched the HBO special, 24/7 Sports, I believe is the company that put it on. It's sort of like the hype video around it. It's an hour-long special. They talk about where they're actually going to be playing, Shadow Creek Course out in Vegas. It's one of the most exclusive golf courses in the world. Friday, 3 p.m. on pay-per-view and Bleacher Report Live. So are you guys going to be tuning in?
Yes! I'm paying the $20.
You're actually paying for it.
Yes, I am so excited. I did miss the press conference today, and I'm you know, I don't like that, so I'll have to find that. But I know they're on the Today Show tomorrow, both of them, so I will be up and ready for that. I love this. I am so excited about this because you always thought that they hated each other. Mm-hmm. But I guess it was a friendly hatred?
Yeah, because they talk about it in the documentary. If you guys haven't seen it yet, they talk about how the competition made them better.
Yes.
And that when Tiger was just coming out into sort of the public eye, that all the attention was on Phil, even though they kind of had similar records at that time. But then Tiger started to take over and became the phenomenon that he is now. And Phil kind of felt a little, not slighted, but just felt like he deserved more attention.
And the money that they earn now is all because of Tiger.
Yes.
So it's impressive. I'm excited. I can't wait.
But it dives into sort of like the rivalry between the two. And I know, Lauren, you're a huge golf fan. Were you familiar with the rivalry between the two of them?
Oh, absolutely. I think they say now that it was friendlier than it actually was at times. I mean, you've got one guy who's nothing but a family man and honestly has done all the right things, I think, for most people from the outside looking in for his family. And you've got another guy who, on public display, has destroyed his family, or at least has destroyed his marriage, is close with his kids now, but clearly had a lot of transgressions in his marriage and had issues. So I think that added fuel to the fire too, because yes, on the golf course, one was a lot better than the other one, but the other one has had longevity that Tiger, it didn't look like, was going to have. So I think now it's a lot friendlier than it used to be. I will not be tuning in, but I'll be paying attention to what Twitter says. I know the Tiger Golf Tracker will do a fine job.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm much more football and football season, which is why I'm so glad golf has moved its schedule to accommodate people mm-hmm. like me.
For me, the Friday after Thanksgiving or the day of Thanksgiving Friday, instead the weekend after, is reserved for football only. So for me, they missed the mark by putting this when they did.
Really?
But that's because I grew up in college football country. College football is important to me and it's a priority to me. So for the non-traditional hardcore golf fan, if that makes sense, you put this at a time where there's not college football going on, I'm much more interested in it. I mean, to me, it's just another, like, even though the games on Friday are on Friday, because it's Friday, right?
I was going to say, are there any marquee Friday games that are
not,
on
not
at that
really
time?
No, that's the thing.
That's good.
But for me, I would still rather have that in the background than watch Phil versus Tiger.
See, I think the game changer for me is that when we first talked about this a few months back, when it was first announced, I was like, they need to mic these guys up. And it was announced in the episode that they're going to mic them up. The caddies are going to be mic'd up. They did say in the special that there is going to be cursing. They are going to be talking trash. And that's what I'm most excited
about. Okay, so, but how much of that feels manufactured? Because for me, it feels forced already. And that I don't, because I made this joke. I wish I would like to say that I created it myself, but that would be a lie. Somebody tweeted out, $19.99, which is the cost of the pay-per-view, would also be the year that I'd be interested in seeing this, because that was when they were both.
Right.
I mean, there was no way Tiger Woods was going to be friends with anybody. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't doing anything. He was like laser focused. Now, he also wouldn't have done a stunt like this. But for me, I don't know. To me, the hey, we're going to mic him up, and hey, there's going to be some side bets on. Just let it happen naturally. That's the kind of forced reality, but not reality TV, because we have a script out for you, takes the genuine part
out
of it.
I think completely opposite. I think that this is the first step in a good direction for the sport of golf, because they haven't really ever done anything like this. I don't think they would have ever even sniffed the idea of doing this back in 99, but now golf seems to be cozying up to the idea of putting the spotlight on more of their stars, which they need to. I think they realize, I think they got to a point where they were too, you know, big for their britches and thought that they could survive without Tiger, and then they saw the momentum that they had this year when Tiger's actually winning.
I'll get on board with that in the sense of they need Tiger for as long as Tiger mm-hmm. wants to keep playing golf. Use him to your advantage. Make as much money off you, because the game is better with him in it.
Yes.
Even if it's with these type of.
Do you know what time it starts?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock? Yeah. Okay, so I will be watching starting at 3 30, Virginia, Virginia Tech, then Oregon, Oregon State, UCF, USF, Oklahoma, West Virginia. This is all Friday. Washington, Washington State.
And those are all on at 3?
Those all start at 3:30 and then go to the late
Oklahoma
night.
And the Washington ones, those are 8 o'clock games.
Right, but the golf will probably be four on later hours, because maybe. It's
I would imagine
West
two and a half, 3 hours.
I do like the fact, listen, they made it $20.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, just about anybody who really wants to watch a Kakoma, it's not a $50, $60 UFC fight. It probably wouldn't get the turnout that they
want.
It's
a good experiment.
Is it a little bit annoying, though, that they put it on pay-per-view?
No. I expected
it. Little, really?
They weren't going to have these guys play for free.
It's annoying they're not playing for their own money. They both got gazillions of dollars.
$9 million.
Put down $1,000 each.
But these guys
care.
Are both avid bettors. And so I think that makes the side bets more attractive.
Sure.
And I love the aspect that they're going to – I did not think that they would mic these guys up. And now the knowing that they're going to be mic'd up and knowing how I guess, trash-talking friendly Phil is. Tiger, I think it takes him a little...
Don't you think Tiger is awkward,
though?
Well,
I think he's been so reserved for his entire career that
but
he's been...
I think
been...
that's kind of who he... I'll be interested. Now, come back with me, and if you say that he is, like, a bleep talker, and he can hang, and he's funny like that, then... But he just comes across to me as, like, this kind of socially awkward guy who doesn't feel comfortable being... I don't see that in another
echelon of superstar. Like, right. Phil is a superstar, but Tiger is in another world.
Tiger's a
where
weird cat,
is,
though. Pun intended.
Yeah, pun intended.
Well, and when you watch the documentary, the 24/7, it's really funny, and a lot of insight is put into what, you know, some of their head-to-head matches have been like.
Yeah.
And especially the one when Tony Romo, when it was Pebble Beach.
That was a good one.
And Tony Romo was Tiger's... was paired with Tiger, but the night before he had dinner with Phil.
And
it was
Phil
with a lot
did
of other guys.
On purpose.
Yeah, and Phil was like, hey, that was great dinner, Tiger. And Tiger looked back and was like, oh, and Tony had to be like, there was a lot of people there. So, like, they're very competitive.
There was another moment, too, when Phil had won the Masters and he had to put the jacket on Tiger the next year. And then Tiger had to do the same to Phil the following year. And so to hear them talk about having to, you know, just sort of adjust the jacket just to make sure it's on properly, I thought was really great.
Yeah.
But moving on from one socially awkward person to a more socially awkward question, Thanksgiving do's and don'ts. How do you handle those awkward Thanksgiving questions? So this was a thread that was found on Twitter. There was also a great article on a local website, Babes Who Hustle, who asked how to handle those awkward situations where, you know, somebody may ask about your politics. They may ask, when are you having kids? Do you have gluten-free or vegetarian options? So how do you guys, have you ever experienced an awkward Thanksgiving question scenario with your family?
I do not invite those people.
Exactly. So has it happened before?
Not really. I mean, Thanksgiving for me growing up, my mom used to put on a spread, and she'd tell my sister to invite her friends, and I could bring mine. We'd have, like, the most random group, and it was a lot of fun, and there was always booze. So everybody kind of found their niches to hang with, and if somebody was having a conversation in this corner, you're like, and I'm turning left and not going that way. But as we got older... And maybe it's just me. I don't see my family as much during this time of the year for two reasons. One, they're way back that way. And two, because football season is always super busy. But I found myself that with the free time that I have, I want to spend it with people that I like to be around. And I know that's not always the case.
Yeah, no, not everyone gets
right?
that.
I know. So my parents were divorced when I was really young, and it kind of has worked out in my favor because as an adult, I just go, well, you know what? If you want to come to my house, you can. But you're right. The gun violence, the gun policies, the presidential race, the heavy politics, the religious, it's all like, I'm like, we're not doing this. We're not going to do this
See,
in my
we,
house.
We had Thanksgiving plans change on us within the past week. So at one the first plan was we were going to go to the family that probably would talk about politics, and I was not looking forward to that.
Oh,
now we're going to the family that likes to drink, and I am
well,
very
see,
happy
If you're
going
to talk about politics, the rule should be you have to have booze in situations.
No!
That makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like that'll
but
make
But how did you tell family number one, hey, I don't want to talk to you about politics, so we're not eating your turkey?
No, it wasn't my call. It was my grandma, who hasn't hosted Thanksgiving in the longest time. She wanted to host it, so we were all going to go over there, and then it turns out that she has three kids, so me and my brother and my parents were going to go, and then the other two decided that they were going to make other plans, so now the grandparents are just going to one of their houses, and so we're going to my dad's family now, which is a little bit, they're from Kentucky, so they're a little bit more lively, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I love my family, so there's really, I don't think there's much awkward, politics can come up. I go to my grandfather's house every Wednesday night for dinner, and he is staunchly one way, and some other family members are staunchly another way, but everyone pretty much knows that when there's a lot of us together, you don't get into that
That's
stuff.
That's good.
I mean, I think the most awkward thing would be like if someone, you know, says, when are you getting married? I think that's, and it's like, well,
Is that worse than the politics part for the people who aren't married in the room?
For me, it's not.
Is that worse? Is that more uncomfortable than the who did you vote for, who you're going to vote for conversation?
No, to me, I would be more uneasy about the politics question. I'd be like, well, okay, if you want to get into it, let's get into it. And then Thanksgiving's ruined and somebody's crying.
Somebody's crying and slamming the door and leaving.
Yeah, but I do think, I mean, I think the when are you getting married question is much easier. If I was married, newly married especially, and let's say, which I think this happens to a lot of people, they're trying for children and they're not successful right away. And then someone asks them, well, when are you having kids? That's why I always tell people, don't ask that question. Ask a different question.
A lot of older people don't know that,
future, maybe, but never when are you having kids, because A, they may not want to. They may not have even discussed at great length what they want to do, right? They may be in that honeymoon phase, or B, they may not be able to right that minute, or something worse, right? Could have just happened. And I think that's the one question. Don't ask anyone that question and ever. That's the awkward one.
Those are some good tips, and we're going to keep talking.
Nope, rainbows and sunshine at my house, man.
We're going to keep talking Thanksgiving when we come back. This is Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back in to Helmets and Heels, as they said, built by Dreamfinders Homes. And shout out to everybody who showed up today. Give it up to yourself.
Seriously.
There we go. Live crowd, live studio audience.
We're called not cooking before you have to cook.
Chad has one of those laugh cards from here on out. When he hands it, you're supposed to laugh at our jokes and the funny things we say, and then clap when it's time to clap. But we'll get back to the Thanksgiving talk. That's the worst one, JJ. That's the worst one ever. We'll get back to the Thanksgiving chatter in just a minute. But listen, we got to talk about what was a phenomenal showdown last night in Monday Night Football. That is, assuming you guys and gals that you like points being scored and you like a lot
Loved
of them.
It.
What did you guys think? Now, listen, here comes my Big 12 bias. I'm used to seeing that kind of stuff on a regular basis, and so much so that it gets this negative connotation. Well, there's no defense. And maybe if there was so much of that every single week, it would be overkill. But that's what I was used to watching for so long. But you guys who don't, quote, see it as much, what did you think?
I loved it. I watched it. I was. This is one of the few Monday Night Football games that it was appointment viewing for me. And I made sure I was in front of the TV watching the live stream, watched every single second of it right until the end. I mean, you had to, because of the way that it was just back and forth, and it was just a shotgun showdown. And I know that a lot of people were crying about, you know, sort of the lack of defense, but there were defensive touchdowns in
there.
Yeah, there
were some strip sacks. I mean, that Aaron Donald had a night for the Rams, so it wasn't gone that they just ran up and down the field.
There was a part of me that did feel like, wow, this is Jaguars are so far off.
Right.
If we have to play either of these two teams, or if we were to have played either of these two teams in the playoffs or the Super Bowl like we predicted before the season started, we would have been blown out.
Donna?
I will hand my time over to Lauren Brooks, as I was fast asleep.
Yes, fair enough. I don't. You have to get that.
As
with
a mom hand. Of a two-month-old.
I have a two-month-old.
Today.
I was asleep.
She turned 2 months today. That means you have not gotten a lot of sleep in the last 2 months. I think the quarterback play was fantastic. Yes, Patrick Mahomes had the 5 turnovers, but you're talking about guys who were able to make the plays that each team needed. If that game had gone another 15 minutes, I think we're talking about it being 75 to 74.
Basketball
right?
scores.
Well, and Bishop Kenny versus Clay a few years ago, that game finished like 62 to 61, something absurd. And I remember thinking, I'll never see another game like this until last night. And that was in the National Football League. I love the offensive part. Yes, for me as an SEC person, I want to see a little bit more defense. I think the score should always be held under 40. But as far as the offensive play calling, which has been a little bit of an issue around here, whether you want to attribute that to quarterback play, injuries, or just bad play calling, both of those guys, Sean McVay and Andy Reid, they know what to do with their football.
They put on a clinic.
Their quarterbacks, their receivers, their tight ends. And that was worth watching. And you just, you kind of scratch your head because you think, literally I just scratched my head. You think, why can't the Jaguars do that? You don't have to have first round draft picks all over the football field. Why can't this team just get a little creative?
Because the quarterback.
Well, and the NFL is set up in a way, salary cap wise, where you can't really have both. You can't have both a high-flying offense and put all your money there and then also expect to have a defense. And they doubled down on the defense. Well, ish. But in the terms of the game last night and what Kansas City is able to do, I mean, their defense is not good. I mean, as far as how many points they give up and all those things. And we knew that when the Jags went in to see them. So the question I have for you ladies and for everybody else here as well, if you had to choose what you have right now defensively with the Jags, who are still statistically, they don't have the sacks and the numbers they did last year, but statistically they're still top four, top five, week in and week out in total defense. Would you rather hold on to that and work with a subpar offense or give all that up and have all the points and know that every single week you may have to put up more points than the next person? Which
all
way are you going?
All
the
points.
If offense or defense?
The answer is absolutely
defense.
Some say defense. The answer is absolutely offense. And it's not just because it's more fun to watch. It's because the way the NFL rules are designed, it's to help the offense
score.
It's
the new NFL.
Yeah, so you've got to be able to score points.
It's I would assume for all the Jaguar fans in this room today, assuming that's what you are, was that tough to watch last night, knowing what you have on Sundays offensively? Yes, they're melting their heads,
There were more touchdowns last night than the Bills have had all season.
Yeah.
14 touchdowns compared to 13 the Bills.
You know what I like about you guys watching last night? This is why I get so angry when I do the show. And it's New England and it's Jacksonville. This is why, because I'll watch New England and I'll watch Jacksonville. And you wonder, why are you so angry every week? I'm like, because I watch this team. And then I watch this team.
1-0 this season against
How can they be so different?
1-0 against the Patriots this season, though, Donna.
Well, and they're so different because of the at the end, it's because it's Belichick versus whomever is in charge of
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's like what you watched last night and how much fun it was. And wow. And then you look back at the Jags and you're like, oh.
But even without Belichick, the team did fine with Garoppolo. And even when Garoppolo had an issue, they did fine with Jacoby Brissett. So it's not just Tom Brady. Yes, a lot of it is Tom Brady. But it's also to have the mind to outthink and outcoach the other guy and the other team.
One more thing about last night's game, which I thought was fascinating, because you mentioned that KC has a questionable defense at best. Why the Rams didn't run Gurley more? And I thought it was fascinating that Mahomes and Goff threw nearly 50 times each, but Hunt and Gurley, the running backs for two of their respective teams, barely got a dozen carries.
Yeah. And I think that's because both of the coaches said this is going to be a shootout. And if we're trying to run the ball and trying to run the clock, if we don't get first downs on the ground, we're going to lose to the team that's able to be high flying.
It's just more cements the fact that the NFL this is the new era of the NFL, and this is what more teams are going to be moving towards, is that the quarterback can make the rest of the team better and make the defense and spending a lot of money on high caliber defensive players a little less significant.
It was the most watched Monday Night Football audience since the Lions and Cowboys game December 26th in 2016. Well, of course, December 26th is going to be a highly watched game because that's right before, that's probably a team deciding whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. So the fact that it was that highly watched in mid-November, obviously that showed you what people were expecting, which is one of these teams could potentially get to the Super Bowl.
Well, and it's Thanksgiving week and my first Thanksgiving in Florida. And I have to say, the fact that it is like 60, whatever it is, degrees outside.
It's cold.
And I'm like sweating right now and I take my jacket off, but to be honest with you, I don't have the right bra on, so I can't do that right now. TMI. But it's amazing.
Live.
That's the honest to God truth. I love it. Everything about it is amazing.
So you don't miss the snow. You don't miss
all
that.
Well, see, that's the thing. Where I didn't like, maybe that's a misconception
did it
with
snow?
The Midwest. Eh,
no,
it did, and then it didn't.
Nobody knows anything about the Midwest.
No, why would they? It's the worst. The Midwest is the worst, and I can say that because I lived there for so long.
But like mountains, plains, right, I don't
whatever.
Know.
Whatever. We don't know anything about the
Midwest.
I'll tell
you this, the wind blows too damn hard. I can promise you that that is the one thing that I will never want to have to see or feel again. But in Florida for Thanksgiving, for the first time, either the Rue family will be staying put. Friends coming in tonight, actually, from Oklahoma, and the liquor cabinets are stocked full, and I'm sure no political conversation will be taking place. But there are certain things in my Thanksgiving world that are kind of a must. The staple things that I need to have outside of just the booze part of it, okay? That this is how we had it when I was a kid, and this is how we have to have it now. Now, I will tell you this. As I got older and more responsibility fell on me and then the kids, I finally was just like, oh, screw it, whatever. I don't care. Whatever you put out there is it. But my go-to staples, in addition to turkey and ham or whatever, you can do whichever one. Mashed potatoes have to be there.
True.
And what kind of mashed potatoes?
Well, okay. I would prefer to have them peeled and smashed and
homemade.
Go in the thing and elbow grease and all that stuff. But I'm not going to lie. We probably just microwaved the Bob Evans ones this year.
which are pretty good.
Which are, seriously, they are like, I had them one day and I was like, what have I been doing for all these years? So the peas. I love green peas. But I like the Le Sueur peas in a can. The silver can. I know, that's ridiculous.
Oh, the fancy ones.
The $1.25 a can versus like 89 cents. That, and like, I just need like this much for those, what, like a quarter size of cranberry sauce to just kind of like stick on the rest of the, like, to
like out of the can.
No gravy?
So I don't need gravy. I don't need stuffing. And I want one big, I can take the turkey, smash to the mashed potatoes, dipped in the peas with just a slide of cranberry sauce, and that's the perfect
bite. No dressing?
No, I don't need any of that. So I've showed how crazy I am.
That's a staple.
Please, someone else wave their freak flag and tell me that there's something else that they have to have.
I have to have macaroni and cheese.
Homemade from a box. Where do you want it?
I could do either or. My mom makes fantastic in a box macaroni and cheese, but then also my grandma also makes
Velveeta.
Well, not Velveeta. Kraft
thick and creamy is the way.
Yes.
You need to try the
and she adds
again.
In extra cheese
to
it.
Oh, she doctors it up.
So she doctors it up a little bit. It's delicious and I love it. And then there's also the home. There's two different versions. It's like wanting like a picnic burger versus a fast food burger. I would like to have both cravings, but I can't be greedy. Broccoli cheese casserole, some kind of casserole I have to have.
Green bean casserole.
My mom makes a fantastic green bean casserole too. She's making squash casserole this year, so somebody better be making the green bean casserole. But broccoli cheese casserole is my go-to. Well, I don't know what I'm gonna make yet.
Okay,
I just mean if it's a must-have for you,
because that's my mom's job. She makes her go-to. That's her staple. I'm not treading on any toes here. Is it that that's her thing? That's what she goes to. But I also have special requests for brown gravy and for deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. I forgot about that one. Why is it the one time a year we're all like, we have to have deviled eggs? Because
one
it's
time?
Well, no, I mean, I don't
I need it a lot.
Well, you eat a lot of eggs, but do you eat them on regular?
We've heard about that. I love deviled eggs.
I know. Why do deviled eggs only come out during the holidays?
I don't know, but my Christmas was ruined a couple years ago whenever we had this great meal and everybody was so full and stuffed and, you know, family's starting to leave. And then my brother makes a comment and he says, you know what we didn't have? We didn't have deviled eggs. And we
and
both
it was ruined.
Looked at my mom.
Thanksgiving.
And we've never let her live it down, and now there are
good
deviled
point.
Eggs at every single holiday.
Yes. Donna?
My must is to not cook. I don't cook, so we're not cooking.
Wherever you're
forever.
Going, as long as it's not
you. So what are you doing?
What we do is my mom has been a waitress at Bob Evans for umpteen years, so we just get their whole family feast. Everything. All you do is heat it up, and you're done. And throw it away. There is no getting up at 4 a.m. to, you know,
brine the turkey.
Whatever you
gotta
do with
the
turkey. No
frying a turkey.
Here is your meal. The dessert is included. Everything's taken care of.
That's terrible.
JJ says that's terrible.
Says someone that's gonna waste their time cooking.
JJ, my mama does that.
I was gonna say your mom does that.
Come on, man.
My dad, I think I've told this story once before. My dad overbrined our turkey one year, and my uncle at the time must have been on some sort of medication that reacted negatively to the overbrined turkey. And he starts like twitching, and then his like neck veins start popping, and he's all red, and he's like, what's going on over here? My dad's like, oh, it's a little salt in the turkey. And I was like, a Griswold Thanksgiving.
Yes.
He's going to fall out.
Oh,
and
no.
The rest of us are just eating it like, hey, we're Southern. It's fine. It's over salted.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like growing up, I didn't appreciate Thanksgiving. And I don't mean like the wonderful being with the family. Like that part's great. But I mean as far as the time that it took to make the actual meal. And the older you get and the less you cook, which for me just keeps decreasing from a very small amount that it started with, I now realize the love and effort that goes into everything. And like 1 year, this might have been last year, I said on this show when we were talking about Thanksgiving how much I love when my dad takes the time to make this cranberry port relish, where he takes cranberries and he soaks them and he adds port, which is a dessert wine, and it's phenomenal. And I had it like one time and I loved it, but I talked about it on the show. So then therefore my dad went through all this effort that Thanksgiving to make the cranberry port relish that I once talked about. So now, in case my parents are listening, and they probably are, I'm happy with whatever you make. I'm going over to my parents' house tomorrow.
Hint.
To quote unquote help my mom. I really think that's code for just come over and hang out while I do all the things with the food. But I really do appreciate it all. My grandfather, who's 97, makes pumpkin pie every single year the same exact way. We used to have sweet potato casserole that my grandmother would make a certain way. Now my cousin's going to make that in the exact same recipe. And I just really appreciate that other people do what I don't want to do.
You can just show up.
Yes. Yeah, and I show up and
you've got to figure it out.
Don't ever give that up. Don't ever volunteer.
Oh, no. They know better. No, they know better. Yeah. There's usually mac and cheese, hash brown casserole, or green bean casserole. There's everything you could ever want. And you can't even eat it all in one fell swoop, but I love just, and yes, booze also at the house is great too.
Yes.
But I love that. And then now going to Brian's household and getting to try their stuff. And I just appreciate all the people who slave away for me just to show up and eat.
By the way, it's only been like the past 5 years that we've gotten Bob Evans, may I add, because I'm getting ridiculed by my mom.
Oh, yes.
I cooked every year at Big. Yes, Mom, you did, and you did phenomenal, and you deserve a break now after all those years. So.
Gotta love when your parents are listening and they chime in and say, that's not how I taught you.
But that's actually good that they change traditions like that, because I've been trying to get my family to go to a fried turkey for years, and they refuse to do it. Oh. And I don't understand why, because it's so significantly better than the oven turkey.
Agree. Okay, we deep fry two birds every year.
Oh, two. Yeah, I like both. I like the options.
And it only takes like 15 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
But you have to be very careful, too.
Blow the house up and yourself.
You have to be very careful.
Then it's Griswold.
But it's probably worth it.
Then it's Griswold.
Don't use
to have
old
a better turkey.
Oil is what I've been told
old
by my
oil.
Uncle.
Yeah.
Old oil.
Old oil.
Old oil.
All right. We will continue the conversation when Ashlyn Sullivan will join us to talk more about the Jaguars. We'll give away that Peter book chocolate heel as well, and have a Farrah and Farrah injury update. All that when Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes returns.
Don't change your hair for me.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes,
presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products
on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
This is a voice that I wish we could hear at Daly's Place. His album just came out. That is the Michael Bublé.
The Christmas album?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought that's the only time of the year we hear Michael Bublé is at Christmas
time.
Oh,
so excited. Just, I have recorded everything he's been on so far, and it's only Tuesday night.
That's pretty good.
So, yes. Very happy.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes, live from the Dreamfinders Homes Stadium home. As Ashlyn Sullivan joins us next from Jaguars.com, digital reporter and host. Ashlyn, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are fantastic, thank you. In the press box on Sunday, I looked down, and I've seen you a few different times before, walking down up and down the sideline, and you wear a photographer's jacket. So I've been meaning to ask you, what is your role on game day when you're down there?
Yeah, so I am basically the sideline reporter for the Jaguars Instagram stories. And so I do a quarterly update about what happened during the quarter and the half. And then when I'm not doing updates, I'm filming every play, or I'm behind the bench trying to get reaction. And then whatever I get that's good, it goes up on the Jaguars Instagram story. And I didn't used to have to wear that ugly vest, but Alex Brooks told me that I have to wear outfit. It ruins my outfit, so if he's listening, it's his fault that I wear that.
That's who did you say, Ashlyn? Whose fault was it? You cut out. Sorry for me. Whose fault is it?
Alex Brooksy.
Ah, we'll get him next time we see
Alex
him.
Alex is like my little brother. I can't wait to give him hell about that. Ashlyn, let's talk about the game on Sunday. The Jaguars couldn't hold that 10-point fourth quarter lead. What went wrong late in the game?
it honestly reminded me a lot of the AFC Championship game. I thought the Jaguars took their foot off the pedal. I thought they got conservative in their play calling. I thought they trusted the defense almost too much. The defense played so well, and they played well enough to win, but I think they put too much on the shoulders of the defense. You're playing a Steelers offense that has guys like Big Ben and Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown and James Conner, who seems like well, and they honestly, I think, took their foot off the pedal and got too comfortable with the lead they had, and it just, you saw what happened. The Steelers came back like we've seen them do many times before, and I understand because you have an offense that isn't producing like they wish they would with the Jaguars' offense, but at times I thought they should have taken more shots, tried to score more points. What really hurt them was in the first half when you had those two interceptions, one from Jalen Ramsey, one from Barry Church, and you only got 3 points from those two interceptions. Those had to, at least one of them, had to be a touchdown. You had to take more advantage of the opportunity given, especially with Barry Church, who had a fantastic field position for that.
Ashlyn, do you, if you got to make the calls up there, do you start Blake Bortles here on out?
I would, just because you've invested so much in him financially, emotionally. The locker room knows that that's the quarterback. And I honestly don't think there's much of a difference with Cody Kessler. I mean, it's, a lot of it's the play calling. We know that this is a run-first offense. That's what they've built this offense around. I keep him for the rest of the season. I reevaluate in the offseason. I think the Jaguars just need to decide who they want to be. Like, for example, you watch Monday Night Football last night. It's this explosive offense and quarterbacks throwing it down the field almost every single play, and it's a bunch of points scored. The Jaguars don't have the system do that, and if they want to do that, they're going to have to completely change their offense. But if they want to continue to be the run-first offense, pro-style football with Leonard Fournette and pounding the ball, then they're going to have to reevaluate their offensive line and reevaluate Leonard as well and how he's been healthy. So I think that's been kind of the issue, the miscommunication of what do the Jaguars really want to be on offense.
Ashlyn, Jalen Ramsey took a lot of heat in the media last week, and even some trade rumors dropped 90 minutes before Sunday's kickoff. Do you think that that was extra motivation for him, or do you think his performance was merely a coincidence?
I don't think that was extra motivation. I think what was extra motivation for him was how poorly he played against the Colts. He knew he did not have a good game. He got burned a lot against the Colts, and a lot of points were scored because of that. I think he came back and wanted to have an unreal performance just because he didn't have a great performance the week before, and he's such a stellar athlete and has so much talent. Not having a great game for him isn't acceptable in his mind. So he said in the locker room after the game that it was a lot based on just how he didn't play well the week before. It's incredible what he did. I mean, he had an unreal performance, and it's disappointing that it gets masked because of the loss, because he deserves to be talked about and to win that game, because that was unreal.
Ashlyn, what is more important to you, that this Sunday against Buffalo we see an upgraded offense, or the defense stay what they were, what we just saw, which was phenomenal, I think?
Can I say both? Because I think the biggest problem is the Jaguars right now cannot play a complete game. Either you see the offense play really well, like we saw against the Colts, they put up a lot of points, or you see the defense play really well against the Steelers and then the offense not show up. The Jaguars have to just play a complete game. Both units don't have to perform great, but just have to be complementary of each other. I mean, you had the defense creating so many turnovers against the Steelers, and then the offense couldn't capitalize on it, especially in the first half. So if they both could just take a notch down and play a complete game, I think it would result in a win.
I don't think that's asking for too much, Ashlyn, at all. I think it's about dang time. When I was sitting in the press box on Sunday, I looked down and saw that Malik Jackson, big number 97, was on the sidelines for a good portion of the first quarter, and then he played intermittently throughout the game. Were you surprised that he didn't get the start?
A little bit, just because we're so used to seeing Malik in the starting role. But Coach Marone said, you know, if you're not performing at a high level, no one is safe. I don't care what position you are. We're going to put someone in there that gives us the best chance to win. And then later on Monday, he explained furthermore that he thought that the Steelers were really, really physical up front. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league, and it's not really talked about much because their running game is so strong. But they wanted a bigger body in there to try to stop the run, so they put Marcell Dareus in his spot. But Malik seemed to handle it well. I talked to him today in the locker room, and it really bothered him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was honest with that it really bothered him that he didn't get in the starting role. He was told to gain weight and get bigger. But I think it's all about just Coach Marone said, no one is safe on that roster, and you have to be performing at a high level to earn the starting job.
Ashlyn Sullivan from Jaguars.com joining us here on Helmets and Hills, built by Dreamfinders Homes. All right, Ashlyn, let's move on to the Rolling Stones, who I think if we combined all of our ages together, we still might be younger than the entire band. But they are still crushing it and still killing it, and they make great music, and they're coming to Jacksonville.
Yes, my mom is thrilled. I texted her immediately. She wants to buy tickets like the first time they come out, so she's thrilled. And I think it's awesome. It appeals to so many ages. I mean, I grew up listening to the Rolling Stones because my mom was such a huge fan. I think it's going to be great for Jacksonville. We saw how well the stadium shows were with Lynyrd Skynyrd and how well that did just for the city. It's going to be awesome. It's a pretty big deal that the Rolling Stones are coming, and you look at the concert lineup, and they're going to such huge cities around the country, and you see Jacksonville there. It's pretty cool.
And do you know when those tickets go on sale? Is that a wait and special announcement thing?
They will be on sale Friday, November 30th at 10 a.m.
Ooh,
mark it down. I know those will be going quick.
And the Rolling Stones aren't the only concert announcement you guys have, right?
No, we have. I know you'll like this, Lauren. Kenny Chesney, April 13th at David's
Place.
I was told that this tour, Songs for the Saints tour, he wants more an intimate, closer performance and concert. Smaller, he didn't want to do the big stadium thing, so this is perfect for Daly's Place. That'll be April 13th, and we're going to announce next week when tickets go on sale for that.
So the Rolling Stones are coming to TIAA Bankfield, but Kenny Chesney is actually playing in Daly's Place.
In Daly's Place, yes. I was reading about his tour, and throughout the entire tour, he wants to be small, together, close-knit. So I think that he's going to accomplish that with Daly's Place, that's for sure. That's got to be a sold-out show, because I know he's so popular.
For sure.
Oh, that'll sell out in what I would predict less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, scary.
Something along the lines of Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds, Zach Brown, all those. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to go very quick. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Ashlyn, thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully next Tuesday night when we talk to you, we will be talking about the Jaguars beating the Bills. And I say hopefully because I'm still in the camp that you want to win some football games. Other people may think, you know what, get that higher draft pick. But I'm saying let's get a double.
Let's talk about a win.
Absolutely. I don't want to talk about the draft yet. All right. Ashlyn, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Absolutely. All right. JJ, you're starting to have some more options here for the Peterbrook Chocolate Heel giveaway.
Just like that, you're 6 years old, and you take a nap, and wake up, and you're 25, then your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink. Just might miss your babies growing like mine did.
Well done, JJ. Well done. That is an artist that is coming to Daly's Place in 2019. And if you know the name of that song or the name of the artist, text into the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford 641-1010. And the very first person will win tonight's Peterbrook Chocolate Heel. I had no idea Kenny Chesney was coming to Daly's Place. I have only ever seen Kenny Chesney in a stadium venue.
Ooh.
I could not be more excited at this moment. He came to Freebird.
Yeah, I went to that concert. It was amazing. It sold out in like 10 seconds tops, I think. But I had just started working for a local magazine called Void Magazine, and that was my welcome to the team gift that they secured a couple tickets for. And it was – I wasn't the biggest country fan at the time, but watching him perform live, work the stage, only 700 people were in that building. It was amazing.
That's cool.
Amazing.
Yeah, I've been to several shows at Freebird. I remember that night I had some sort of prior plans. Now I don't remember what they were, but I remember being so upset that I couldn't go. Kenny Chesney puts on, even if you're not a country fan, puts on a phenomenal performance. You're talking about, you know, a lot of people talk about how great of a performer Garth Brooks is, and he absolutely is. And Kenny Chesney learned from Garth Brooks how to work the stage, work the crowd, have conversations, but not talk too much. Basically play your music, and it is so much fun. I saw Kenny Chesney, I've seen him twice at the stadium here. Once when it was Alltel and once when it was Everbank a couple of years ago.
And another Rolling Stones Fest. First concert my dad ever took me to.
Oh, that's
they
cool.
Played down in Gainesville, and that was
1989.
Yes.
Okay.
So that was an experience too. I still vividly remember watching Mick Jagger dance on stage.
Well, he will be coming back age 75.
He doesn't break a hip.
And I did the math. The four of us are older than Mick Jagger. I meant the whole.
I think we are still younger than like
two people on the Rolling Stones, if you combine two of them and all four of us and Ashley.
Oh, okay.
All That's right. what I was going with.
That math might work. Yes. All right. Time now to tell you about the latest when it comes to the injury report.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Well, I always get the bad news of having to deliver these injury updates. I will tell you this. The schedule for practice this week is a little different because of Thanksgiving, and they're gone certain days, and they have different days off because they're going to let them be with their families on Thursday. So at this point, I would love to be able to provide you with the latest and the greatest, but I don't have anything outside of what we saw on Sunday. We saw Eric Flowers get that start at left tackle. We know that Linder is done and that Shatley's taking over there. For the most part, Can come out, if I'm trying
he
to
did.
Remember, with a...
It was a surprise that he was
triceps
start.
Were bothering.
He ripped had off triceps, that. But he
guys,
came...
We didn't even talk about that. Did you see him rip off that yeah. thing and then... discus his arm brace like halfway across the field, like one play, and he's like, I'm not wearing this garbage, and threw
nice.
It.
Hayes Which I don't made know the
that
joke
that's probably a good idea, but
he
that's
hoped
fine.
That wasn't the best throw that he saw on Sunday.
Oh,
the latest practice report, the game status is not yet listed for these guys, but AJ Can with a hamstring injury is on there, along with Ely Anku, defensive tackle with a calf injury. He was out right. and inactive on Sunday's game. Marcel Darius with the back injury, obviously defensive tackle. He was not expecting to practice today. Lorente McCray, defensive end with the hamstring injury, did play on Sunday, even though he was questionable. And he played actually more than I thought he would. Quentin Meeks with a cornerback, the cornerback with a knee injury. Jeremy Parnell, offensive line.
With a K.
Which I'm
assuming sure
what that
is means
knee.
Turns, yes.
I mean, I guess it doesn't mean he's
Boye?
Converted into kicker.
Not listed.
Josh Walker Good. With the yeah. foot and ankle injury. But A.J. Boye is not on here. And Telvin Smith is not on here. He had been on there with a shoulder injury. So nobody... like Leonard Fournette, Blake Bortles, none of those guys are on here. So that's at least good news, but no game status
Bortles.
Listed yet.
This guy cannot get hurt. Don't get it.
When we come back, we have a wild story for you about a wedding gone wrong and a little Serena Williams talk. That is all next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010XL.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. We are live here at the Stadium Home, which is fantastic and filled with a fantastic crowd eating a wonderful spread. Ooh, and they just put out dessert. I did not see that.
Cookies and brownies.
Yes.
So and that, lions and tigers.
I will be over there in a few minutes. Okay, so this story came out a few days ago and has gone viral about a bride reading her groom's texts in the wedding.
What?
So the story goes, on the eve, they like to say, on the eve of their wedding, she received an anonymous text message from someone saying, I wouldn't marry him, would you? And then sent all of these screenshots of these texts.
Ooh.
And photos.
And photos. So and some of the texts will say, this weekend, you and I, it is on, hot stuff, bring your A game. This is just days before.
Which is a terrible text to begin with.
Right, like who talks like that anyway?
I mean,
yeah.
this
horrible.
Is not a coach to a player. Right. Bring your A game.
No, that's
this
terrible.
Is just days before like their wedding.
Sexy lingerie, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
Something
no.
better than A game.
Here, I'll give you another one. Your body is so incredible, and boy, do you know how to use it. I wish my girlfriend had half the skills you do.
Oh, which why? That alone would make me mad. Because he's not saying the fiance
right,
part.
Right.
Like, we're about to get married.
Right.
And then I would be more mad at the actual name he
but
called me.
But the girl
me.
To know that part of their intimate details of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened just days before.
Yeah,
so
look, I just
saw
so right
anonymous person
that.
Sends, oh, by the way, you need to know this is going on before you marry this guy.
Yeah, apparently the hookup, I don't know how long the hookup has been going on, but.
Long enough.
She got all these text messages just the night
before the wedding.
Before the wedding.
So she I want to know like how all this transpired,
right.
but that doesn't come out in the story.
Right. So she had the wherewithal. She's like, you know what? We're going to go through with this. And they get to the vow section, and
oh
she takes
God.
Out her phone, and she reads all the text messages
oh,
in front of everybody.
Everybody in front of God and family and friends.
Right.
We are
like,
gathered here
she's
to
like,
watch
this,
you get
so
destroyed.
This wedding is not going to happen now, and here's
oh.
why. Wow. And so the groom, you know, got red-faced and walked out. And she goes, there's not going to be a wedding reception, but there's going to be a celebration. Let's go all have fun, you know.
Good for her.
I wish I could say I would have done this. Because that is so brilliant.
Tell them what
brilliant.
The groom did.
Well, I think he stormed off.
Yeah, he just left.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't, what else he is didn't, he going to do?
What yeah, I mean, apologize to her. Man up and apologize to his family as well.
Everybody probably spent thousands of dollars.
And listen, he uses terms like hot stuff and bring your A game. I don't know what kind of bar we're setting here for this guy. So
what would you have done if this was you? Because I wouldn't have done
Dang.
This.
I wouldn't have either.
I don't know. I would like to act like I'd be tough enough to get up there. Because it's embarrassing for her.
Because she gets her hair done. She gets her makeup done. She puts a wedding gown on. She's walking down the aisle.
She feels like an idiot. This guy who she thought was dedicated to her. I would feel like
but
the biggest idiot.
If you remember, stop yourself and remember, she's probably already paid for the photographer.
Everything.
The venue for sure.
Everything.
The hair, the makeup, the gown, of
yes.
course. But the hair and makeup she's probably already paid for too. So it's not like she can stop everything in motion. So there's no way I would have done what she did. But I do think I would have called his mom, his dad, his family that was in town, my family, and said, you know, after I finished crying for 2 hours,
them.
Say, I can't do this and I never want to see him again. And now how do you think we should proceed with all your family and friends? Should we have a party and tell him to hit the road? I don't know.
Right.
I was checking the comments on this story, and I was going through, and everybody's like, yes, queen. Like, you showed
right.
him. Like, so, you know, you're super independent. And I just couldn't help but feel, like, a little icky about it. Like, I don't think that I like the idea of having a celebration, of having a party, but you're heartbroken.
That's tough.
That's it. You're probably
and
crying.
Embarrassed. And again, embarrassed. That this happened to you and you've got to stand up.
This actually happened. Something similar happened to somebody that's close to me. And she went through with the wedding. She didn't listen to the anonymous messages that
Did she
got.
Not believe it?
She, I don't think she wanted to believe it.
Are they still married?
No, they are not.
Oh, man.
No, they are
did
not.
Did he cheat on her or that you know of?
Yeah, definitely did.
See,
yeah.
I wish I could say the same, but
yeah, I couldn't. I don't think I could do it. I mean, but in the long run, broken engagements are better than a divorce.
Right. Yeah. Well, she's a much stronger woman, I guess I could say, than all of us, because that's awesome.
Well, kudos to her for...
It does make me, the cynical part of me makes me wonder, did she kind of have an idea that things were going on with this guy, and that's why she was able to be so calm, cool, and collected?
Right.
It might have been like a hindsight thing that you look back and okay, well, that made
he kept saying he was going to play golf, but he never had golf clubs.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, moving on to another strong woman, that would be Serena Williams. She recently has been on the cover of GQ, and the GQ title on it with her in a black unitard
is that what that's called?
Yeah, that's a unitard.
It's a leotard.
I thought it was a bathing suit.
No, that's a leotard. A unitard is like a whole body.
Oh, let's not get into is it lingerie or a bathing suit again.
That is a worst tan line for a bathing suit ever.
But I mean, if you were going to like a chilly beach, couldn't you wear like a high neck bathing suit like that as
with sleeves?
That's even a chilly beach.
Okay,
like going to a
we
French
digress.
Beach.
It doesn't matter. She looks amazing. Keep going.
The title on it is Men of the Year. However, men is crossed out and woman is put in its place. However, women is in quotation marks. So this is where the backlash happens, because people have body shamed her for years and have said she's not feminine enough, and they said she looks like a man. So they don't appreciate that woman was in quotes. So this is me going, seriously, people are, this is people reading into way too much. I don't see anything wrong with this. I think she looks phenomenal. I love that they said Men of the Year, cross it out, and put her on it. I praise GQ. I don't see anything wrong with it. You?
And it's a design style. I did a little digging, and there's a design theory around the term scare quotes, which is used to either elicit attention or doubts, which I think is why a lot of the sort of grammar Nazis on Twitter Twitter
right.
looked at this and thought, well, why is this in quotation marks? Not knowing sort of, I guess, the connotation behind it, because it's also, it's handwritten by an artist called Virgil Abloh of Off-White. And I know I just butchered his entire name, but he's styled everything in quotation marks and has actually worked with Serena in the past. So this wasn't new to Serena, and this wasn't, this concept isn't new in general. It's just new to a lot of people online.
See, I thought the outrage was going to be the fact that she's on the cover of what is traditionally a men's magazine.
Right.
And that was going to be, and I had this whole thing in my head. I was ready to just be like, let me tell you. Listen, I use quotes all the time, probably when I shouldn't, but that's because I like to just, I'm like, you know, allegedly, and I put quotes around it. My kids even do it, even when it's like, doesn't make sense, where Lyle will be like, Mom wants me to pick up my clothes. I'm like, I guess that kind of works, but I know I really do want you to pick up your clothes. No, this is, that's kind of silly that that's what the outroar is about. That's right. Really disappointing.
And I thought it was going to be about the fact that she's in something that's very high cut and she has Chanel hanging around her private parts. That's what I thought the outrage was going to be about, because she just went through this whole thing where she struggled, you know, after childbirth and had some issues. And so I thought they were going to be saying, well, she's really drawing attention to those parts. But either way, I think it's inappropriate to have the quotes on women. I get the artist part of it, but for most people who are not going to do the research on the background,
they should have explained it in some kind of behind
correct.
The cover.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You don't need something. Quotations. What you need is just to put woman instead of men of the year, because that's it. And also, it was supposed to be men, and we changed it to woman. So what, we can't celebrate women? In GQ, only one woman? So now I'm really getting grammatically picky.
Well,
but
she is the woman of the year.
Sure. But it's not, it was going to be men of the year. So why can't we have women?
Because they have three winners, I guess.
It's usually man of the year.
Well, they have three. There's four covers total. And for some reason, Jonah Hill is a man of the year. I don't know what he did specifically. Michael B. Jordan, which ain't going to hate there, you know. And somebody else who I forget. Someone I don't know, Henry Golding or something like that. But
well, you have to be careful with what you put. A good friend of mine just got married, and he posted on Instagram, like, sealing the deal with my forever date. My favorite, and he put women, my favorite women.
Oh.
And it's a picture of he and his lovely bride. And so immediately I told him, like, you got to change it to woman, not women. And so some people are like, oh, you're so hypercritical of different stuff. And it's like, yes, but at other times, I really don't want people to think that you're talking about that you married a conglomeration of women. It's woman. But that, yeah, I just think they should have removed the quotation marks, because
fake outrage.
No one really understands why they're there.
Right.
It's an artistic thing. That's all.
You're right. Yep. Well, coming up next, yes, it's going to be rivalry week. Woo! FSU, Florida, or Florida, FSU.
It's Florida at FSU.
Okay.
One team's ranked, one team's not. It's fine.
Talk some college football along with maybe possibly, let's get into some more Jalen Ramsey talk. Because I'm excited about this. More on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
1 segment to go for the ladies here on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. Lauren Brooks alongside Lauren Rue, Blythe Brumleave, and Donna Murphy, live from the Dreamfinders Homes Stadium, home 2.0, just outside gate 4 at TIAA Bank Field. Florida State and Florida, one of the many rivalries kicking off this weekend. I guess they really all start on Thursday, Thanksgiving, Turkey Day. Here's what I want to know from you ladies. Florida head coach Dan Mullen, who used to work under Urban Meyer, he was the offensive coordinator under Urbs, confirmed a rumor that went around that Urban would not let his players eat in the city of Tallahassee.
When they traveled there for
when
the game.
They had to go to Tallahassee to play at Doak Campbell Stadium. Would not let them eat in Tallahassee.
Why? Was he afraid they would get poisoned or something?
He thought that big buses rolling into the rivalry city, someone feeding them would figure out who's coming to eat, and they would do something to their food. Now, they didn't say that, but that's what you figure out. So my question is this a genius, smart, Belichick, Saban type coaching move, or is this coaches be crazy?
Well, since I know about Belichick and that. I know all about cheating and trying. So I think this is...
At least you admit it.
I think this is smart on Urban to not let them eat there. Yes, I agree.
You would do the exact same thing.
I would do the exact
How
same
do they
thing.
Eat? They just bring their
yeah,
food
that's
with
what
them?
I was thinking. Do you know? Do,
no, you
well, there's a lot of
the
towns,
limits.
And there's a lot of towns in between Gainesville and Tallahassee.
Okay, but they would
so
just eat...
What they could have done is eaten in Gainesville and then brought snacks with them. It's only probably a two-hour bus ride. I've usually mostly gone from Jacksonville to Tallahassee, which is 3 hours. Gainesville is an hour and a half south. So, yeah, it's probably like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you could do it that way, or you could eat at a town like Madison or something that's right outside of Tallahassee and just make sure that you're not actually in Tallahassee because they know you're coming. The enemy, quote unquote,
is I'm surprised
coming.
They just don't hire like a food truck to just follow them.
Well, this was back then.
Yeah, this was.
Or just have a catered van or something follow you with, you know, trays of hot food or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people to feed.
Yeah, I don't think it's a little bit crazy, but let's be honest, football in the South is crazy, right? And we've had seen trees be poisoned. Auburn, Alabama, there are some intense rivalries, and I'm sure people have gone to extreme lengths to give their team an advantage. And Urban Meyer may be a liar and a faker when it comes to certain things in his life, but this is kind of a smart move. I mean, if he thinks, look, maybe because he's experienced it himself, but thinks the last thing we want is somebody giving us food poison or I mean, not killing anybody, but giving us spoiled something that so that we can't play. I mean, think about it. There are some college football towns. There's some high school football towns who would go to extremes. I saw a guy who dressed up as a referee, snuck in as a referee in a high school game. I read this a couple of days ago during his son's high school state championship game, put on a referee's outfit or a uniform and found his way in it and got on the crew. And like, I don't know how he pulled it off, but then of course, like an idiot bragged about it later on social media.
What?
And yes, tried to like,
so he made certain calls.
Yes. Alluded to the fact that he may or may not have helped out his son's high school championship game. But the point being, people are crazy. Yes. So
maybe that's had to have happened in Texas.
Maybe that's what the Jets need.
You know, I agree with that. We definitely need some ref help.
Some ref help.
Yes.
Yeah. So no, I don't think it's crazy.
No, and, I don't think it's crazy either.
I mean, it's crazy in like normal world, but in football world, it's probably not crazy. Yeah,
what is well, that ESPN commercial? It's not crazy. It's sports.
It's sports. That's right.
Urban also used to call that the school out west, which is deep seated from when he was growing up in the land of Ohio in the cradle of coaches, where Ohio State refers to Michigan as the school up north. If you are a diehard Ohio State fan, you will never say the school Michigan. Never. You'll always say the school up north.
So okay. I wonder if he does the same thing with Ohio State. Yeah.
Oh, and I assume they probably don't eat in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Jim Tressel used to say that he won't even stop for gas in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to give them any money to their economy.
That's funny.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that to me is what makes rivalries so great is the absolute bitter hatred. And so we have family that went to Florida and we have family that went to Florida State. So this is unlike for us any other rivalry. You know, Florida and Georgia, it's a long-seated thing, but no one in my family went to Georgia. Florida-Tennessee for a lot of years was a big rivalry. Nobody in Tennessee and LSU, same thing. So Florida-Florida State's the only one where it literally
for you
is
personally,
like, for me,
you have
the
a
line
cut,
is drawn
yeah.
in the sand.
Do y'all watch the games together?
Absolutely not.
That's good.
There is no way in the world I would be able to, nor would they want to be able to do that. And it's not like I'm separately obnoxious. No, we're all obnoxious because that's how you are as a fan. And even if you're both trying to maybe keep it a little quieter, still, the one thing the person like fist pumps, you know, you're just enraged.
You think you're going to get in a fight? I thought I was going to get in a fight on Sunday for sure.
Well, because there were so many Steelers fans
yes.
in the stadium. Yeah.
Where do you sit?
203 row B.
Okay.
So, and that I completely get because the Steelers fans too with those awful, terrible towels and. I get there are great people in every fan base, but
there's a lot of terrible ones in that fan
base. But there's something about those towels that really gets me. But for me personally, I do think Florida's going to beat Florida State, so I have a comfort level. I'm a little nervous, but I just think over the course of the season, that's what's going to happen.
Will it ruin your weekend?
Yeah.
Because I know we talked about this last week.
It's going to be such a great – I really hope – last Thanksgiving, things went awful for me weather-wise. My whole family has decided to run – or tailgate for a turkey trot 5K at the beach. So we're supposed to do the, you know, get in our exercise or other people be making drinks once we're done running.
And then we go to Pete's Bar and everybody hangs out.
I forgot about that.
And it's so fun and it's great, right? Everybody's outside. It's not really inside a bar if you're not familiar. It's everybody just stands on the street and hangs out. And a lot of times, like for people like us who spend Thanksgiving with family, you don't get to see friends. So that's your time to see friends. Well, all of that was ruined for me last Thanksgiving because of the weather. It was like 40 degrees and raining and I wasn't going to run. And then Pete's Bar was canceled, the whole drinking in the streets. And it was terrible.
That's way too cold for us here, Rue.
No, I know. 40 degrees is cold for me, too.
That, and we don't step outside for that.
Then Florida lost, and it that made a five years in a row loss to Florida State. So, like, it just added kind of fuel to the fire. So if Thanksgiving's really good, I'm hoping that if Florida loses for some unknown reason, that then I'll still be okay because at least I had good weather. All right, but let's get it back to the Jaguars. Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey called Bills quarterback Josh Allen trash in the GQ article that was made famous this past offseason. Today in media interviews, he said, "Everybody who knows me know why I was so hard on him. If you don't know me, that's on you. If y'all look deep into it, y'all can figure out why I was so harsh. For me, it was the easiest explanation of all time as to why he called him trash. Do y'all remember Josh Allen's tweets becoming public?"
I do, but I remember, but I don't remember what they were.
Immediately, as soon as I read this, I remembered that Josh Allen had racist tweets. From 2012 to 2010, three separate times he uses a racial slur. And then in 2013, he uses the phrase, and this is the one that I think really ignites the fire and bothers a lot of people. "If it ain't white, it ain't right." So if you're Jalen Ramsey, and a lot of times I'll say he's too brash, and especially that tweet about "y'all gonna miss me when I'm gone," I thought was completely over the line and a kind of a look at me. But way more over than that, he's trying to say in a very subtle public way, if there's a way to do that, that this guy does not like him because of just the color of his skin. And I am 100% on board with Jalen saying, because you either used to feel like that or maybe you still do feel like that, I am not okay with that. And that's why I'm using that word trash. Now the floor is open for y'all's interpretation.
I am team Jalen. So in my eyes, he can do no wrong. So if he wants to talk crap on a losing season, I'm all right with it, because you got to take the good with the bad, in my opinion. This is who he is. He's always been this way ever since his FSU days. He's going to speak his mind. And us as broadcasters, as you know, somebody who's covering the team, this is great. This is what you want. He gives you material to talk about. And I say keep it coming. And most of his – I mean, I know that a lot of his criticism as well, the GQ article, he wasn't pointing fingers at his own quarterback. He can't point his fingers at his own quarterback.
Yeah, if he really were telling the truth, he'd probably say something.
He would air it
all out. He would tell the truth. I would agree.
Yeah, he would absolutely do that. So for him to talk trash about all these other quarterbacks, largely he's been right every single time. So
he said Roethlisberger wasn't very good. I think that's him saying he loves Antonio Brown, not Big Ben.
But I think also
Joe Flacco. He said Joe Flacco's terrible. Joe Flacco's not terrible.
He is terrible. He's on the last leg of his career. He's terrible.
He may be on the last leg of his career, but he's been fantastic this season. And the Ravens won with Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson really had to run the football. Joe Flacco is much better. Much better.
He's a more polished
anybody else they have there. But regardless, let me go back, since you weren't here last week, Blythe. When Jalen tweeted that out, "y'all gonna miss me when I'm gone," as a diehard Jaguars fan, that didn't bother you at all?
Mm-mm, not at all. Because I know on the flip side is that we got him on that rookie deal and we're going to franchise tag him twice. So even if he wants to go somewhere, he ain't going nowhere. He's staying put. And I think,
what if he pulled the Le'Veon Bell and said, "I'm not playing under the franchise tag. I'm not signing my franchise somewhere else. Tag tender.
He's my favorite player until he's not on the squad anymore. And if he wants to find a way out, especially to, you know, someone like an enemy team like the Titans, then that's when this relationship will end. But in the meantime, he's still my favorite player. You got to take the good with the bad. And I didn't see any. I think that was more of Jalen getting called out in a meeting rather than talking down to the fans. I think Jalen is much smarter than to talk down to fans. And if you took offense to that tweet, then he was probably talking to you.
Because he didn't play well the previous week against the Colts.
Yeah, so that's one game out of his entire
career.
But
that's what you're saying, is called out in the meeting room because he didn't necessarily have his best performance the week before.
Well, and plus he also wasn't listening to coach's orders. If coach calls zone defense and you sort of go off cue from that, then that is on you.
Yeah.
Even if you disagree with his scheme.
He said he wasn't doing that. He said the call wasn't communicated.
Well, this week
they
played a lot more man coverage, so I wonder, was he right? And I think he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
if he'd come out and said that Josh Allen is a racist, that might have been like a little more clear. Josh Allen is also not a very effective quarterback, so if that falls in the trash category as well. I mean,
it's probably also the organization, too. Josh Allen isn't going to succeed in Bill's organization.
Yeah, I don't know who succeeds there. Nobody.
I agree.
Any issues with the word trash being used?
No.
No, I call a lot of players trash.
There's no issue there.
Including on the Jaguars team.
I've said a lot worse.
All right, then let's wrap with this. At this point in the season, Blythe, you asked the question, are you in favor of winning out to possibly make the playoffs or lose out for a chance at a better draft pick?
You know, I used to be in the corner of just lose out and then you get a better draft slot. But we had Brad Coleman on last season, and he's a former Reds, Cincinnati Reds GM, and he came out with a book, like Losing to Win, and he came up with a solution of how non-playoff teams can continue to compete. If they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, they can continue to compete, and the teams with the best record, if you're not in the playoffs, are awarded the top draft spot. And mm-hmm. So that was his solution to not just the NFL, but to the rest of the leagues who think that tanking is a solution in order mm-hmm. to better your organization. Because Mark Cuban said a few years ago that there is a way to tank in order to get a higher draft lottery pick, mm-hmm. and that you just don't play your best players. You just play the backup players. And then that way you can still, you know, secure the high draft spot without affecting the veterans that are playing for your squad. And so when we had Coleman on the show, he sort of opened my eyes to the larger effect that, yeah, this is a situation where you're breeding losing as a strategy, and you never want to do that as an organization. So he sort of changed my mind on all that.
Do y'all have faith that with the current people in play, that even if they do have a high draft pick, they'll get
no
get
fire
it right?
Dave Caldwell.
See, now he's brought in a lot of talent.
Who? I was gonna say who?
This whole defense is because of him.
No, not at all. Jalen Ramsey was the only surefire pick that Dave Caldwell's ever had.
You don't consider like off season pickups
Paying big money for free agents? That's what you do.
Draft wise.
But he won them. Like he got them. I consider.
I think Tom Coughlin got them. I don't know that Dave Caldwell.
Yannick Ngakoue was before Tom Coughlin. Yannick Ngakoue is a Dave Caldwell draft pick. Yeah, you said he hasn't drafted any talent outside
first
of Jalen
round
Ramsey.
Draft picks outside of Jalen Ramsey. What has he done? Nothing. You have to hit on those top five.
But
draft
he has
picks.
Hit on some outside of the top rep. The first round.
Out of 5-6 drafts, I would hope you hit on a few of them. But on those top draft slots, I do not trust him with another quarterback pick. I do not trust him with another top 10, top 15 draft pick. If you get rid of anybody on this team, you get rid of Blake and you get rid of Dave because they're joined at the hip.
No.
I won't argue that. I mean,
And I know the crowd just said Nathaniel Hackett. Look who he's working with, man. Though, like, I mean, who's gonna do anything with that? Guy.
That's why I think you start
I gotta
Kessler.
Watch what I say.
Well, I think you can always tie the general manager to the quarterback, and obviously that has not gone according to plan. So regardless of the other draft picks, you can easily say, hey, the general manager took what I consider to be a project as the third pick overall in the 2014 draft. The year before that, Luke Jokel was taken at the left tackle position. He did not turn out.
He's not even in the league anymore.
So therefore, the decisions that he's made have not been, especially again, if you timed a quarterback, have not been what you would want to see for an organization. And this is an organization that for a very long time needed a quarterback. The last really good quarterback here was Mark Brunell. And really, you could argue the only good quarterback because, right, I know you're on the other side of the fence for that, but the only good quarterback that this team has really
had. David
Garrard was pretty good, not as good passing wise and as effective wise as Mark Brunell, but the overall thing, right, GM, quarterback. So if that doesn't work, then you have to start over. I think some people are in favor of starting over with a different quarterback and a different offensive coordinator, but not necessarily general manager, because sometimes the philosophy then completely shifts.
Well, and my big issue too is that the NFL has been trending into this high offense, you know, the Monday Night Football game. It's been trending this way for a while, and there has been failure at the top of the organization in order to see that trend and address it. We are a run-first, defensive-oriented team in a passing league now, and we have yet to address that. And all of the offseason acquisitions, as far as offense is concerned, have bombed miserably.
And, I mean, they've tried to get offseason pickups, like big spenders on offense, and they just didn't sign here. They didn't come
here. Well, Andrew Norwell was a you know, guy that did come here.
Right.
But I think the key is when they brought Tom Coughlin back, that's the type of team that he wants to run. So
it's the old NFL.
Then you wonder where does Caldwell sit on that versus Coughlin, and then where does Marrone fit into all that?
I think give Coughlin and Marrone another chance, get Dave out of here.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We have had the best time here at Dreamfinders Home Stadium, home 2.0. We've enjoyed the sliders and the hummus and the fruit.
I hope the wine the is dessert. Still open over there.
and the bar, of course,
oh,
as
good,
well.
Oh, good, good.
Okay. Everybody have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Enjoy all the food that you get, no matter what form or where it comes from, whether it's made from scratch or made from a restaurant. Enjoy it all. Thanks so much to our producer, JJ LaSelva. Stay tuned for XL Primetime with Hacker. And Andrew Gibson is off tonight, so stay tuned for Hacker. For Donna Murphy, Lauren Rue, and Blythe Brumley, I'm Lauren Brooks. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night.